Amen.
Please be seated.
Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you're our teacher. I just pray that this morning you would just anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak things of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start off there. Matthew chapter 9. And the title of the message here, Jesus, a real man. You could put up there, a real man. Wouldn't you like to know what a real man was? Okay, well, Jesus, he's showing us a real man. Look at this. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, laying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk?'" Verse 6 is huge. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Wow. Powerful. Just a powerful setting there. Jesus, and we're going to look at Jesus, and the title is Jesus, a Real Man. As I've said the last few weeks, we're flowing off of so many Old Testament books, and we closed out with Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and so God puts a big period, you know. So you've got the Old Testament, you got the foundation of the Old Testament, and it just ends in Malachi, and then you got 400 years, and then you got Jesus. Jesus comes in, and Jesus is standing on the foundation of that Old Testament. You can't ever forget that. Jesus, when he comes, he's standing on the foundation of the Old Testament, and he is fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. So it's continuing like that. So he's standing on that Old Testament prophecies. He's standing on the Old Testament. But Jesus, as Jesus comes in, it's a game changer, all right? No, it's not things as they've always been. When Jesus comes, this is a huge game changer. And when you look at Malachi, it's so important. When you look at all the Old Testament and what God says, and he lays out all these prophecies, and nothing is taking God by surprise. Anything in your life you think, "I wonder if God even knows what's happening." You ever thought that? I have, anyway. Okay. Maybe I'm the only one. God, do you know what's going on? God knows what's going on. He's not taken by surprise. And so as he's unfolding the Old Testament, he knows what's going on. And when Jesus comes, that's all the way he planned it. But when he ends the Old Testament, it's important to know he is not happy, okay? He says, "You just failed in every way that you possibly could fail. You failed," all right? So he's not happy. But he says, "Before I just come and he does it, "before I come and just wipe everything out, I'm going to send the Messiah. I'm sending Jesus." So here we come, and Jesus is coming. And so, just as a note, before God wipes everything out, Jesus has a ministry. He has a ministry. And so we see this. Jesus is a game changer, all right? Jesus is a game changer, and we're here because of Jesus. So he's standing on this foundation of the Old Testament, and what he does, he clearly shows himself, and in Matthew, we see in the book of Matthew, which is written, and the reason I want to stay on Matthew, here's a little footnote, Matthew is specifically written to the Jews, all right? It's specifically written to the Jews. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those four Gospels have different audiences. That's the reason they sound a little different, because they have different audiences. You ever write a letter to your mother? Yeah? You ever write a letter to your father? Right? You won't tell them the same thing, but you say it a little different. You ever write a letter to your children? Okay? You're going to say it a little different, because you have a different audience. There were different audiences. The book of Matthew was written to the Jews, and it's showing them specifically the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. So that he's going back to that. So you're springing off the Old Testament, and he really is going back to the Old Testament, say, I'm the fulfillment, going all the way through that. He is a game changer. Jesus is the game changer, and he's speaking specifically, the audience of that letter is to, or the account there is to the Jews. Now, he clearly demonstrates himself as Messiah. Clearly demonstrates himself. We know that. He clearly demonstrates him who dies, pays the penalty for our sins. So we know that is a church. And so that's what Jesus, in this section, he does it again. He does it again. Well, just so you know that the Son of Man, which, by the way, that term drove the Jews crazy. Okay? Because the Son of Man comes from Daniel. All right? And the Son of Man is the Messiah. And so that just made the hair on the back of their neck stand up. Because he just said, the Son of Man. And they're thinking, no, you're not. Yeah, I am. But it's the Son of Man. Another name for the Messiah. So the Son of Man, he said, just show you that the Son of Man can forgive sins. He goes, get up and walk. And it's like, wow. So everybody is like, wow, that's kind of a wow moment. You know, so Jesus is claiming and he's showing himself is the Messiah. There's no question about it. And even people that didn't believe he was the Messiah were going, you know, this guy's different. He's a little different. You know, so you got the Messiah. You got Jesus proclaiming himself is that. But as that is the truth, he is God. He is the Messiah. He shows himself as the Messiah. But I want to focus on a little different point here. A little different point this morning, if you bear with me. I want you to look at Matthew 9:8. Matthew 9:8. We have an overhead here. Matthew 9:8. And that's where I want to focus here. They glorified God who had given such authority to men. Now, that's kind of a stunner. It's like, wow, God can do this. You know, wow, the Lord, Jesus is God can do this. But what they're looking at, man, this... Look at the authority that God has given men. That was a stunner for them. That was a stunner. A man had this authority. Now, what's interesting too, when Jesus, when any time when people said to him, referred to him as man, and that he had the authority to do things like heal and things like that, he never rebuked them. He never rebuked them. I mean, Jesus went through and he said, I am God. He would say, I am the Messiah. Here in Matthew 9, he goes, I am the Son of Man. So the Son of Man. So he was making claims that deity, claims to deity all through that. He claimed to be God. So there's no question about that. But when they said, wow, look, you're a man. Such authority to a man. He never rebuked those people. Now, why? We've said this before. Because he's fully God, but he's fully man. And he's fully man because he is fully God. Like I said at the previous times, that makes my head hurt. All right? But that's the truth. So what he was, if you will, if you look at this, Jesus was God. Like my hand here, it was God. He was God. And when he came to this earth, he clothed himself in flesh. That's what he did. He clothed himself in flesh. So he walked around as a man, powerful man with no sin, fully man. He walked around as a real man. Why? Because he was God clothed in flesh. Amen? That's it. And the people saw, and they saw the message. Oh my gosh, look at the authority God has given to man. Now, Jesus, so we know Jesus showed himself to be God, but he also showed himself to be a real man. See, and this is where it comes back, a real man. Jesus was a real man. Jesus was man as man was supposed to be. Not man wrapped up in all our weaknesses, all our sins, all our fears. No, he was a man as man was supposed to be. All right? He was full of God himself, and he walked in the authority of God. He was deity clothed in flesh. He was a real man. Now, Peter brings this out. Other places bring it out, but Peter in the book of Acts brings this out. I love this verse. It's fascinating. In Acts 2:22, you can look on the screen, Acts 2:22, and Peter says this, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God." Here is a man full of God. Look, Jews, Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God. It's like, oh my gosh. Oh my God. It was God working through him as a man. It says, "A man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. You yourselves know." You saw it. You saw it. You saw it. He was a man that God worked through to do mighty works. You saw it. But he said, a man. Isn't that interesting? Okay, we're back. And this is the reason I'm really repeating this. Jesus was God. Because somebody will quote you, Wallace just said Jesus was a man. You know? Meaning that Jesus is not God. Meaning that Wallace is apostate. Go to another church. You know? I mean, that's what happens. So I always say Jesus is God. You know? I got to connect Jesus is man, Jesus with God every time. So you can't cut those apart, okay, because he's both of them. But the focus here, since I have established and the scriptures have established that Jesus is God, I want to talk about Jesus is man. Y'all with me? And my, you know, consternation of talking about the subject. So, but that's what Peter said. Jesus, a man, attested to you. Jesus, a man, attested to you by God. And the works he did through him, God did works through him. Now again, I want to show you this. Jesus is God, clothed in flesh, and God did works through him. You see, because God's in him. Okay? First part of deity, you know. He's the third part of deity at the end of the second part of the deity. I don't know how else to confuse you more, okay? And just, you know, it just drives you crazy. But so I'm making the point. So Jesus, the point here is that I want to touch on. Jesus is showing himself to be a real man. There is significance how he operated as a real man. I don't think Jesus came so much to show us himself as God, because we had the Old Testament. We could look at God. We kind of know who God was. Jesus came and he's showing himself as man. He's showing himself how we're supposed to behave. It's what we are supposed to do. He is showing us, all right, that. So Jesus is showing himself as a real man. Now, to be a real man, for Jesus to be a real man, he had to receive power and authority from God, all right? Because how would we be a real man? If we receive power and authority from man. If I just go out and do my own thing, you know, the best I can, and maybe I can do it better than everybody else, that's me, all right? That's not God. But Jesus, being a real man, he needs God and the authority and power from God to work through him so he can reflect God. So Jesus is a real man, has to receive authority from God. There's a great verse in Philippians, and it's so fascinating, and it says Jesus willingly set aside his own authority, and he humbled himself and became a man. What it says, he set aside his own volition. His own volition. He just set it aside. Not that he was less. He just said, okay, I won't do this. I choose to set it aside, and I'm going to come be just a man. See, he willingly set it aside. But he has to receive power to act. He can't act on his own because he just set his power aside of his own volition. Philippians 2. All right? So here's Jesus showing himself as a man. So he has to receive power from God. He has to receive power from God. Therefore, to receive power from God, he has to receive it like a man would receive it. So he receives, I'm going to ask you, what would he receive to receive power like any man? The Holy Spirit. Jesus has to receive the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus, I mean, in heaven, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're up there doing fine. Okay, they're doing fine. All right. It's not like he had to do it to get back. I mean, they're doing good. But to be a man, the way man's supposed to be, he's here on this earth operating. And to be that kind of man, he has to receive the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit starts moving through him. It's the power of God. Does that make sense? Well, we've already looked at this verse, but I will repeat it. Look at Matthew. We'll stay in Matthew 3:16-17. I've had people ask me, why did this happen to Jesus? Why did Jesus had to do this? Jesus had to do this to show himself to be a real man. Not God. He could be God without this. Matthew 3:16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. Done deal. Got the Holy Spirit. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." Wasn't God pleased with him before? When he was God, part of the Trinity? He's God. Of course he was. But now as he's carrying out the function as man, and he's receiving the Holy Spirit, "That's my Son, I'm well pleased. He's doing just what I ask him to do." See, he's doing what I ask him to do. Okay, that's Jesus, a real man. Well, that's neat, isn't it? Now, this is important. We need to really lock in on this. Because I think it's a point too much overlooked. Is a point that's too much overlooked in Christianity, that Jesus received the Holy Spirit the same way all men are to receive the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? Jesus is doing what everybody's supposed to do. All he did is whatever. He was just the first one to do it. All right? But everybody else is supposed to do it. Sometimes there's a word, it's interesting depending on how it's used, but it talks about Jesus is a first fruit. And what a first fruit was, you get a first fruit and they say, "Wave it," you know, and you sacrifice it. And what does it mean? But what was important, this first fruit, you'd pick it up and ask for God's blessing, because all the other fruit would be just like it. It's the first fruit, and all the other fruit was like it. Does that make sense? Okay? And so what Jesus was, the first fruit, because all the other will be like it. He calls Jesus the first fruit. I'm the first fruit. The first fruit of what? First fruit of us. He's the first fruit. This is what the rest of the church is supposed to look like. What? They receive the Holy Spirit like Jesus did, the first fruit. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing how the Bible is tied together. All right? It's amazing. Old Testament to New. So here we have, I think it's important, we shouldn't overlook that Jesus received the Holy Spirit before he went into ministry. What did Jesus do for the first 30 years? I don't know, okay? But he didn't go into ministry because he hadn't received the Holy Spirit. He was doing this thing. I mean, he's making chairs and tables, and I don't know whatever he's doing as a carpenter, all right? He's doing his thing, all right? And he was probably a good guy. There's probably, you know, Jesus, this is a cool guy. Go over. He makes the best chairs and tables you ever saw. Yeah, nice, wouldn't cheat you for anything, okay? He hadn't received the Holy Spirit. His ministry did not start until he received the Holy Spirit. Everything changed. Everything changed after that. Everything changed. So it's important to know he received the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're supposed to receive the Holy Spirit. That's why. Christianity isn't just a good moral code that we can irritate the world with. All right? It's not. I mean, it is, but that's not its purpose. All right? We are not a moral code. We are a power people. We are a power people with a power message. See? So, looking at Jesus, the first fruits, this is what Jesus told his disciples. He's leaving, okay? He says, "Now y'all hang around, because I don't think you ought to go in the ministry yet." That's what Jesus was saying. In fact, he said, I don't think you ought to do anything yet. In fact, just stay in this room and don't go anyplace. They spent 3 years with him. They knew stuff, and he taught them what's coming. They had some stuff together. He taught them. You know, they're renewing their mind. But he said, listen, just hang around until you receive power from on high, like me. Like me. And that's what happened, Acts 2:2. And suddenly, there came from above a sound like a rushing wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus. I added, just like Jesus. But it's true. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus. And said, don't go and go talking about all these things about Jesus until you receive Jesus. I'm not a moral code. I don't need you going out and sharing a moral code. I need you to receive power from on high. You need to receive the Holy Spirit like I did. And then you go forward. Amen? Now, in this, see, Jesus is a game changer. And what he did, he brought this to his church. He brought this to his people. And to which people did he bring it to? Everybody. Everybody. Amen? So, now just process this for a while. Now, we have decided that Christianity is not a moral code. It's a moral code. I mean, you can do it. It tells you good stuff to do. But it's not just the moral. There's a lot of moral codes. And what we do, we compare moral codes with other religions. Well, they got this moral code. They have this moral code. And they have, see, and they kind of bounce it out. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of moral codes. And then we're trying to convince them of our moral code over their moral code. And they're arguing with our moral code. And who are us? We to tell them about our moral code. And don't you point your finger at me. And we getting all this, you know. Well, the church is at fault. The church is at fault. Because it's not a moral code. Okay? We shouldn't be arguing like that. It's the presence of God in us. It's being born again. It's having the power of God. It has a home in eternity. It's loving people, you know, and introducing them to Christ and seeing them filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about. It really changes the conversation. It really does. It changes the conversation. And don't be sucked in to the other conversations. Just come back to who we are. To who we are. You know. So let's look at this. So we have the picture. Jesus is showing us what this is. Now, when we see this, when we receive the Holy Spirit, and by the way, I will make a note here, because I think this is important. You see, when Jesus received the Holy Spirit, it's like a dove. He's like, wow. Then when the apostles received the Holy Spirit, it's like a tongue of fire. Wow. I just want to let you know, those two descriptions are never used throughout the scripture again of receiving the Holy Spirit. All right. See, because it's not a dove, it's not a tongue of fire. It's just like, y'all don't have a clue what this is, so I'll just show you. It was a show you time, you know? But he's not going to show us every single time. And in fact, after that, he would say, you need to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized and received the Holy Spirit, and they didn't see nothing. See, now something happened inside them. So the point of it is, God, it was trying to communicate in a visual so that they would understand what happened in their physical. And it says, the Holy Spirit just descended on Jesus like a dove. Everybody's going, oh man, that's cool. You know? Then the apostles, they go, oh man, flames of fire. Wow. Man, that's what he's talking about. But it didn't happen after that. Because the whole thing was receiving the Holy Spirit, who is invisible. He just gave us the picture so we'd know that what happened. See? Footnote. So here we are. We receive the Holy Spirit. What happens when we receive the Holy Spirit is our behavior changes. Our motivation changes. Why? Go ahead. Think that one through. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in us. All of a sudden, boiling. What is going on? You're changing. All of a sudden, think, my goodness, it's changing from within. It's changing from within. See? Our motivation changes. Our behavior changes from within. We receive Christ. That's the reason you see people come to know Jesus and they're happy and they're, oh my gosh, I want to praise Jesus. And gosh, they like to listen to praise music. I hated praise music. Now I like to listen. Man, I like to read my one incense because it changed. See, something changed inside. Sometimes it's a visible. You can actually see their face change. You know why? Because it changed from within. Changed from within. Okay? That's what the God does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, you see Jesus. Now, see, Jesus had his act together before the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad about that? But he still received the Holy Spirit. Now, look how he behaved after he received the Holy Spirit, because his motivation and behavior changes. But on purpose, because he chose not to use his own volition. He chose not to use his own volition. But this is what happened to him. And here's a verse in John 5:19. We've looked at this before. And it says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord. Oh, come on, you can do something. Come on, Jesus. You can do something. You know what Herod asked him? They took him to Herod. Herod said, I want to see a miracle. Didn't do nothing. Could have. He didn't do nothing. Yeah, he wasn't showing Herod nothing. God tells me to show you something. I'll show you something. I ain't showing you nothing. See, right here, John 5:19. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does. Whatever God tells me to do, I do. That's just what I do. I don't do anything of my own accord. I just do what the Father tells me. He's a real man. Now, hear me back. He's a real man. He only does what the Father tells him. He received the Holy Spirit, and now he's under a different motivation. He has a different purpose, so he only does what the Father says. That's a real man. Amen? Man, I don't want to do that. You know, unfortunately, when I want to do that, it's like, oh, I want to do that. It's like strangle somebody. And it's like, no, that's probably not of God. I probably shouldn't, don't even have to pray about it. That probably is not the Lord's leading to strangle that person. Although it would make everyone feel better, you know. No. But even things are more subtle than that. I just want to do that. I want to do. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do. I wonder what the Lord wants me. This would be the perfect situation. I'll just do. Well, what's the Lord want you to do? See, a real man hears from God and only does what God tells him. You see what I'm saying? And God has a way of teaching us when we kind of didn't do what he said. All right, but that's what he's doing. He's telling us. He's teaching us. But the point of it is here, Jesus changed. His motivation changed. It was only what the Father told him. Why? Because it's the Spirit within him, the Holy Spirit within him. Amen? All right. Now let's look at us, people, and what the Bible says about people, about the church, not people. For God's sakes, no, not people, for people within the church who have received the Holy Spirit. All right? And gosh, there's so many verses we could look at, so many, but I just tied it down because of time. But when we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, our behavior changed. I came to know Christ, nothing changed. Between me and you in the fence post, I don't think you receive Christ. Because you would change. You have God, universal, enter into you. And you go, nothing happened to me. Then you didn't receive nothing. You see what I'm saying? There has to be a change. Well, and I've even heard it preached. God forgive me, I've even said it myself. Oh, And I said, you know, don't worry about how you feel. Just know that you did and it was an event. And don't worry if you changed or not. Oh, God, help me, for whoever I said that to, that they sent some empowered preacher to lead them to Christ. Because I lied to them. I just flat lied to them, you know, out of ignorance. You know, no, it should change. If nothing changes, you need to get on your knees and go before Jesus and confess your sins. Lord, fill me. There should be a change. All right? All through the scripture is full of a change. All right? And don't baby somebody and say, well, I just don't change, don't know what's happening. They need to get on their knees and go before the Lord. All right? Because there's a change happens. All through the scripture, it talks about a change. It's an internal change. I just put this one. We start behaving. What happens, and here's the internal change. We start behaving like Jesus. Did you hear that? There's an internal change. We start behaving like Jesus. Now, let me tell you why. Look, what was Jesus? Okay, here's Jesus, God, clothed in flesh, right? So God starts behaving. Therefore, he is behaving, and what he clothed in flesh does how he's behaving from internally. So Jesus, clothed in flesh, starts behaving exactly the way God wants him to because God's in him. Okay, here we are. We're come trucking along, and we say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe my sins are forgiven. Lord, I give you my life, and we receive the Holy Spirit. What happens to us? The Holy Spirit comes and dwells, and our flesh surrounds the Holy Spirit. We become flesh full of the Spirit. We are just like Jesus. Jesus was God with flesh wrapped around it. We become like God with flesh wrapped around it. Now, let me give you some disclaimers before all that is quoted out of context. It's like, he just said we're God. He just said Jesus is my man, not God. And he just said we're God. Okay, everybody. Oh, Lord. No wonder nobody preaches on this, all right? What I'm saying is that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us, and we have God, and we become flesh around God, and then God within us starts transforming us. He starts transforming us from within. But just like Jesus, God is within us, moving and changing us. We've just received the God of the universe, the Holy Spirit, and he's dwelling within us, and he starts changing us from within. From within. Amen? So we are like Jesus, the first fruits. Amen? So it's we're behaving. We're starting to behave like Jesus. Now, Jesus was perfect, okay? He's doing good. I mean, when he's making the table and chairs, he wasn't cheating nobody. You know, he was doing good, all right? Now, we don't do so good without Jesus, all right? And so we're struggling. And so when the Holy Spirit's in us, it's telling us to do all this stuff. We argue with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do that. They don't have to do that. And why aren't you helping me? Why didn't this work out? And I don't feel good anyway. You don't help me when I ask. You don't halfway answer my prayers. And so we're having it. Jesus didn't have those arguments with God. Your will, not mine. You know, come on, Jesus. Okay. What? Now, see, so we're arguing. We're arguing all the time. We're fussing and fighting just in our home. Fuss. I bet before you got here this morning, you were fussing and fighting, some of you. Well, you got here. It's like, gosh, Jesus didn't have that problem, but we do. But what the Holy Spirit within us does, starts transforming. And we actually start getting better. Over time, we start getting better. In fact, we looked last week at 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says we're being transformed little by little. And that transform is metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. I think the church is full of a lot of live caterpillars. And they're eating all the, you know, stuffing out of the seat. But we're going to be transformed into butterflies. We're being transformed into butterflies. And that's what it is. It's a constant growing process because we're human. We're human. We are not Jesus. But we have the same God within us that's transforming us. So And here's a verse. Look at Galatians 5:18. This is what God's telling us to do. Paul goes, if you're led by the Spirit, now what happened? That's the Spirit that entered into us. If you are led, if, and there's a question, if you do it. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't need the law. Law says don't kill him. If you're led by the Spirit, you don't want to kill him. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so if you're led by the Spirit within you, you're being transformed. Your behavior changes. Amen? That's what it says. So that's so important about Jesus received the Holy Spirit before his ministry started. We receive the Holy Spirit before we have any ministry. And any church that preaches a moral code without the Holy Spirit, it's just nauseating to God and miserable to attend. Or just so full of fluff, you know, you think you're going to some live concert, you know. You see what I'm saying? Because Jesus said, no, this is kind of a big deal, what I'm saying here. Now, let me give you another verse that ties them together. Fascinating verse. And we'll see how the Holy Spirit operates as Jesus within us. Look at Colossians 1:27. And this is what Jesus is telling. He tells us. I'm telling you. And he goes, the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Oh, the glory. That's the glory of the mystery. It's Christ in us. Who is this Holy Spirit in? It's Christ in us. But Jesus is on the right hand of the throne. It's the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit has us to behave like Jesus. So it's just like Jesus being in us. They're interchangeable by the behavior. So this is a mystery which is Christ in us. It changes our behavior. Now, we have to grow and stuff, but it changes our behavior. But Jesus is the one that showed us what this was. He showed us what this was. He spent 3 years with the disciples. He says, you guys got this? I've been resurrected. You know, now I'm here. You got it. He says, We got it. We're ready to go. He says, nah, hang around. You need to receive power from on high. You got a lot of information, but you don't got any power. Just wait. Nothing's changed. See? A lot of people have a lot of information, no power. Okay? And information is good. But we want to receive the Holy Spirit like Jesus did. He showed us what a real man was, and he said, I want y'all to be real men and women. He could have told the disciples, wait around. I want you to receive power. Wait around. I want you to be real men and women. Peter stepped up, flexed his arm. I'm a man. No, Peter, you ain't. Just remind you, you denied me 3 times. Don't want to bring up a sore subject, but you did. You have to receive power from on high to be a real man or woman. Amen? I mean, it's huge. And this is the church. And the church in the first century got it. Okay. Gets diluted when it turns into a moral code. Also, moral codes have become very judgmental. Okay. And Christianity is not a moral code. Okay, now here I'm going to wrap it up. 5 minutes here, but I'm going to wrap it up. But what I want to do is take this information, what we learned, and I want to jump to the book of Ephesians. Jump to the book of Ephesians. Now, a lot of people will say, the book of Ephesians is one of the best books of the overview of Christianity today. Okay, one of the best books. Now, there's a note. The book of Romans is the best systematic theology. Okay, it's got about 16 chapters. Book of Ephesians just has six. Okay, so it's a little more condensed. But it's a great book because it condenses. So when the Apostle Paul, he's writing the book of Ephesians to a mature church. So this is different. These people are mature. They've got a church. They've been meeting around. So he writes this to them. So they've got this information and they're moving on, you know, and they got the teaching from the Apostle Paul. So they're trucking. Okay, they're trucking on. But he adds this to them and he talks about what the church is supposed to look like. All right? So we can take this to us. To us. This is what it's supposed to look like. Now, with the Holy Spirit in us, we are connected to Christ. Don't forget it. With the Holy Spirit in us, we are connected to Christ. And we continue to grow in understanding and faith and power. Just like your children. Okay? You have your children. They're connected to you. But they continue to grow in understanding and power. Or by the time they're 20 and they haven't changed since they were 2, you're thinking, good God, Lord. See, no, they change. They grow in understanding and power. That's what the church does. We come in and there's a growth in understanding and power. So we at Broadlands Community Church believe in that. We believe in feeding and growing in understanding. Okay, and truth. So I'm going to be so bold that we at Broadlands Community Church are real men and women. We are real men and women, all right? We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe he's working through. We believe he's changing us. So as real men and women, as the scripture says, we at Broadlands Community Church are connected with the head. Amen? Amen. So we're saying, so we can read this. This is to us as much as right now in this setting in which we are. Now, I took this out of the NIV Reader's version because it just kind of flowed. I like the way it flowed, but you can about the same in any version. But this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And I'm just going to read through this, and this is fascinating. Okay, first off, Broadlands Community Church, this is to you. I believe this with all my heart. And we say, we will no longer be babies in the faith. Amen? Now, there's an opposite to that that tells you something about other folk. They are babies in the faith. There are all sorts of babies in the faith. There are a lot of kids that just, you know, think they don't want to grow up. You know, you come on, Herb, get a job. You know, they don't want to do it. There's babies also, and there's babies in the faith. But I said, we are not. We're no longer babies in the faith. We are no longer babies in the faith. Amen. All right. That ain't a big amen. Come on. Amen. We are no longer babies in the faith. We won't be like ships tossed around on the waves. Well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? What about Jesus? What about Jesus? What about Christ loving you? How about being forgiveness of sins? How about the Holy Spirit filling you? What about that? We don't have to go. We're not tossed around by every foolish thought that comes around. We won't be like ships tossed around by the waves. Can you just see that picture? He's talking to there are churches like that. Everybody is tossed around. You see? He says, no. And it says, We won't be blown here and there by every new teaching. I get a couple of apps, like from different places and Christian or organizations. It's fun to see what's going on. And it's like, beware of such and such. You know, watch out for this. So-and-so's teaching. I'm going, oh, this gives you a headache. Christianity has got a lot of stuff. Now, and people love Jesus, you know, but it's like, no, I just can't get, maybe it's my age, I just can't get excited about it. I just can't. It's just, well, what about this, you know? And I'm going to say this, I shouldn't say it, but I didn't hurt anybody here. I mean, people going nuts. I mean, crazy. I mean, a lot of Christians over blood moons. To this day, I don't know what they're talking about. I have no idea because I'm just not going to take the effort. I've been from Genesis to Revelations 50 times. I never saw one thing about blood moon. And I don't need to read somebody else talking about it. Now, that's just me. And I had one guy say, what do you think about it? I don't know. He said, you don't know anything. I said, not about that. I don't. You know, it's just, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So, you got the script. You see what I'm saying? He's talking to church. He's talking to church. We're not doing that anymore. You know, y'all do what you want. That's fine. You go ahead. You knock yourself out. I'm just not doing it. All right? Now, here's another one. And I'm still in Ephesians. I'm reading this. I'm not making this up. Okay. I mean, I hope you can discern my adding ons. Okay, here's the other one. We won't be blown around by cleverness and tricks of people who try to hide their evil plans. That means that there are some folks out there that are tricking you and they're hiding their evil plans. Linda and I had it. We were talking to a couple. I'll just keep this vague, but talking to a couple. They came out of this guy preached Christ, preached salvation, was real prophetic, and then kind of made a right turn over here and then the left turn, and then says, you know, you just listen to me. You just listen to me, and I'll tell you what the scripture says. This is recent, you know. And then it says, you know, you need to double your tithe, not because the church needs it, but I need it in my ministry. So you need to double your tithe, and God will give you a blessing. See, like that. Kind of the thing that kind of broke them loose is when he divorced his wife and married their babysitter. That kind of shook the church up. You know, they thought something's wrong. But my point is, they should have known something was wrong long time before that. Long time. It's just something. They should have saw that one coming. I mean, everybody makes mistakes. And everybody, you know, we just kind of try to get it the best we can. But after a while, you go, no. And what it is, we won't be blown around by cleverness and tricks of people who try to hide their evil plans. Instead, this is what we do. Instead, now Wallace does, instead I'll just choke them to death, slap them upside the head, drive me nuts. I can't believe you said that. No, God says don't do that. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Brother, you love Jesus. Jesus loved you. You are forgiven. Holy Spirit fills you. You know, you're transformed. Your behavior transformed. Like this guy that was talking that. Listen, I will tell you what Scripture says. Well, you know, I appreciate your study and what you're saying, and I know you love Jesus, and I'll listen to you. But you know, the Holy Spirit fills me, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and the Holy Spirit will confirm in my heart whether I should receive anything from you, brother. We won't talk about this some more. I love you. You know. You keep this up, I'm out of here. No, that's what. But do you see what I'm saying? You talk about that. And you know, and when you, as soon as you start divorcing your wife in the ministry, you go, I mean, are you really full of the Spirit? I mean, I know she's a bad egg, but are you full of the Spirit? You know, you could kind of walk a little bit more. You could kind of do it, be full of the Spirit. You could go a little extra mile with her, don't you think? How are you and the Holy Spirit doing? You don't need to, thou shalt not. You say, no, how are you and the Holy Spirit doing? What's going on in your life? What's going on with your life? He doesn't need another rule. No, he needs something's wrong with the relationship. And then, of course, when he marries the babysitter, you're going, oh, this guy. You can strangle him then. We got to. No, it's not. It's a prefect. See, what I'm saying, it's like, but look at this. God will deal with that pair. But what he's doing, he's telling us. He said, no, we got this. We got this. We got the meat. We got the substance. We're not going to be fooled. Okay? And we'll speak the truth in love. Salvation, receiving the Holy Spirit, transform behavior that everybody in the church has. Everybody in the church has. Amen? Now this one. And again, this is a great section of Scripture. Listen, it says, we will grow up into Christ in every way. Jesus is the head. Now that kind of lets you know who's running the church. Jesus is the head. Listen to me, and I'll tell you what Jesus says. No, you better listen to Jesus. Jesus will tell you what Jesus said, okay? And so we will grow up, and this here's this word. It's like when you grow plants. We will grow up into Christ in every way. We grow up into the person of Christ. He is our model. Christ is our model of a vision of a real man. We know how a real man's at because of Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, behaving as he do, so we can learn from Jesus. That's the bottom line. We grow up into Jesus. And it says there, Jesus is the head. He's running the outfit. Jesus is run. Don't ever, ever listen to me and I'll tell you what Jesus. Don't ever. Jesus runs it. Jesus runs it. Now, he gives you teachers, and he says we should listen to teachers and have good teachers. But you have the Holy Spirit. You discern. This person I was telling you about, he was knocking it out of the park with his messages. And what? Something happened. It went on to left turn. As soon as he made that left turn, he said, whoa. No, we got to talk about that. Something's wrong. Okay. So Jesus is the head. That is huge. The church, Jesus is the head. And Jesus makes the whole body grow and build itself up in love. Okay? The whole church grows and builds itself up in love. All right? And that's the whole thing. It's for love. It's building. Now, what I could put there is it's operation of the Holy Spirit. It's an operation of the whole. That is an operation of the Holy Spirit, that it's growing and building itself in love. You really care. You really care. Amen? You really care. So, and here's the last one. It's still Ephesians 4. Under the control of Christ, each part of the body does its work. We all don't do the same things. You do have pastors and teachers and preachers. We got people fixing coffee. We got people cleaning up. We got people on the ground. We got people doing all sorts of things. But you're all growing up in Christ. Under the control of Christ, each part of the body does its work. It supports the other parts. When we go back, I tell Roseanne. Roseanne goes back and she puts bagels out and fixes coffee. You ought to think, Roseanne, if you drank one cup of coffee, you ought to think if that wasn't a miracle of Jesus, that coffee appeared. It was not, okay? It was Jesus speaking to Roseanne, and she fixed that cup of coffee, all right? That's the body working together. That's how it works. And she does it because she loves us, you know? She ain't drinking the whole pot. You know? So that's the mindset here. Under the control of Christ, each part of the body does its work. It supports the other parts. Whoever made the coffee, it supports the other parts. In that way, the body is joined and held together. The body in love is joined and held together like arms, legs, toes, nose, eyeballs, and everything. But Jesus is the head. What Roseanne is doing, she's fixing that coffee for Jesus. You know? And she'll get a reward from Jesus because she fixed that coffee. And that became a work of God because Jesus asked her to do that, and she said yes. Therefore, they know little work of God. Or heavy, it's a big work. All right? See, so, but that's how it works. And it's all joined together. Listen, I ain't going to do that. I ain't fixing coffee to nobody. You know, like, Roseanne's got that coffee, I'm going home. I hope they got somebody to clean this mess up. Yeah, they ain't working together, you know? And it's like, you could say, well, you need a law that you stay after church and do this. No, you need somebody loving Jesus, and they will stay after church and do that. See, it's the loving Jesus, it's not the law to stay. You see what I'm saying? That's, Jesus said this. He just kept saying this over and over, and that's what the whole thing's saying here. Amen? See, it's fun. Hallelujah. And it's experience and relationship with Christ. Now, anyway, well, how you get there? I went longer than 5 minutes. How do you get there? Well, we know this verse. This is how you get there. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. I paid the penalty. I became sin. I made you righteous. Gave you the Holy Spirit. Let us love each other. Focus on the head. Grow towards the head. And mature as a body. It's a body. Amen? That's what it does. All works together. Gave everybody different gifts. We all don't do the same thing. Praise Jesus. You don't want me making coffee. You really don't. You do not want me teaching your children in Sunday school. You really don't want that. I don't want to either. And it's like, it just doesn't work. The Lord just didn't wire me that way. See? But he wired other people that way. We used to talk about this. Oh, gosh, I can't. This is funny. Anyway, some people aren't meant to be greeters. You know that? You ever walk up to somebody? Here's Bolton. You know, it's like, jeez. You know? You know, wouldn't smile. You know, they wouldn't smile if I gave $1 million. Yeah, here's Bolton. Oh, gosh, how much time? When's the music start? And I made them a greeter. But you know, welcome. Oh, it's just so nice to see you. Here's all I love having you here. What'd you like to know about the church? Oh, and you come there. Would you like to meet our pastor? Come in. And I try to smile when they come. And they say, oh, let me take you back and show you the Sunday school rooms. Any questions you have? Oh, it's so nice to have you. Tell me about it. Where'd you come? How'd you hear about the church? See, those are greeters. Some of you just ain't wired that way. And we don't give you that job. You know, God bless you. God bless you. But it just ain't going to work. It just ain't going to work, okay? You see what I'm saying? It's just powerful. But God, he puts us all in the body, and he wants it to work together. And he wants the church universal to work. But when he talks about local bodies. He has the local bodies start working together. See, it starts working. Everybody is gifted, and they start helping and working together. Amen? Since I blew my 5 minutes out the window. But anyway, it was fun talking about when we stand up and praise the Lord. Another thing you should be excited about, that I am not singing up front. Everybody here should jump up and down. You know, like Craig did that song, said jump up and twirl. Y'all would jump up and twirl that I am not singing. While they're getting up there, I remember I was rocking on one of our grandchildren, and I sang, you know, you rock a my baby, rocking. Yeah, it's funny. This is your grandchildren. And a little old sweet thing reached up and put her hand over my mouth. You know, I said, the rocking's good, but God's that racket. Okay, now what I'm saying, it's just we're all gifted different. And we come in here, and we use those gifts as God gave us. That's the Holy Spirit working. We have natural gifts, but the Holy Spirit giving us power and strength, transforming us. Amen. Amen.